for worship today. Merry Christmas.
Thank you. Merry Christmas. Welcome to worship on this Christmas day here at Trinity Lutheran Church in Hoyleton, Illinois. Boy, it's been a while since I've had the opportunity to run up and down from the balcony, and I get to do that a couple more times during the service today, so I'm really excited about that. What a joyous day this is to celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and to do that together as God's people right here, along with our brothers and sisters who are watching this at home on our live stream as well. What a joy it is that the light has come into the world, the Word has been made flesh, and the darkness is dispelled. Thanks be to God. And I want to thank all of you this morning for being patient with us. We're doing things differently today, and thanks be to God, we have a lot of people who are here worshiping the Lord. And so in order to make that happen, we had to do assigned seats, and thanks for being patient with the ushers. Thanks to the ushers for making it work as well. We really, really appreciate everybody's cooperation with that. Today for our worship, we are going to do a full divine service with communion. And today this will be divine service setting 3. And so it's printed all there for you in the bulletin. And I'll invite you to please stand as we begin our worship. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended you and justly deserved your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them and sincerely repent of them, and I pray you of your boundless mercy. And for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you, and in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Service continues now as we speak the words of the introit for Christmas Day. For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given,
and
his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor. O sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. The Lord has made known his salvation. He has remembered his steadfast love and faithfulness to the house of Israel. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor. Glory be to God on high. The Lord be with you. Let us pray together the collect of the day. We pray. Almighty God, grant that the birth of your only begotten Son in the flesh may set us free from the bondage of sin. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated for the reading of God's Word.
The Old Testament reading for today comes from Isaiah chapter 52, verses 7 through 10. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who publishes peace, who brings good news of happiness, who publishes salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns. The voice of your watchmen, they lift up their voice. Together they sing for joy. For eye to eye they see the return of the Lord to Zion. Break forth together into singing, you waste places of Jerusalem. For the Lord has comforted his people. He has redeemed Jerusalem. The Lord has bared his holy arm before the eyes of all nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. This is the word of the Lord.
God rest ye merry gentlemen, let nothing you dismay. Remember Christ our Savior was born on Christmas Day to save us all from Satan's power when we were gone astray. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy, comfort and joy. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy.
From God
said the angel, let nothing you affright. This day is born a Savior of blessed holy sight, to free all those who trust in him from Satan's power and might. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy,
The epistle reading for today comes from the book of Hebrews, the first chapter, verses 1 through 6. Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature. And he upholds the universe by the word of his power. After making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become as much superior to angels as the name he has inherited is more excellent than theirs. For to which of the angels did God ever say, "You are my son, today I have begotten you"? Or again, "I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son"? And again, when he brings the firstborn into the world, he says, "Let all God's angels worship him." This is the word of the Lord.
Please stand for the Alleluia. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the first chapter. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. This is the gospel of the Lord. Having heard the word of God, we now join together in speaking the words of our common Christian faith. And this morning we use the words of the Nicene Creed. We confess together. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshiped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. You may be seated. Our sermon hymn today is Joy to the World. Grace, mercy, peace, and Christmas joy be unto you from God our Father and our newborn Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for the sermon for Christmas Day is going to come from the Old Testament reading from Isaiah chapter 52, where Isaiah is proclaiming joy to the people of Israel, people who were experiencing a whole lot of darkness and joylessness all around them. And yet, because of God's salvation, because of his victory over our enemies, there is this joy that just bubbles up and just can't be contained, to the point where even the creation itself begins to sing for joy. And that's what we just sang in our sermon hymn, Joy to the World, on a day like today. That's what we need in a world like this. God's joy given to us in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is our text. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, well, it's Christmas Day 2020, and so as your pastor, my hope and my prayer is that this Christmas, just like any other Christmas, you would be experiencing joy today because of the birth of our newborn King. Christ, our Savior, is born for us. That's what this day, that's what this whole season is really all about. But at the same time, I mean, I'm a realistic guy. I understand that for some of us, maybe for many of us, this Christmas hasn't really been as joyful as other Christmases in the past. In fact, some of you might even say it's been a little bit more, I don't know, like grinchy than normal, right? That it's as cuddly as a cactus. It's as charming as an eel, right? And maybe if you had three words to describe it, they would be the following, and I quote, stink, stank, stunk, right? But I would say that, you know, with everything getting sort of pared down this Christmas and really all year long, one of the interesting things about that has been it's given us an opportunity to really think hard about what things in our lives are essential and what things are non-essential. And honestly, I would say the fact that we're all doing this right now is a great example of that, right? So as many of you know, and I mentioned before, you know, we had to expand how many people we would allow for our Christmas Day worship today, because we had so many people who wanted to come and join us in person. We had to do things a little bit differently today in order to make that possible. And so all of you, plus all the people who are watching this at home, I mean, you have all decided that worshiping the Lord on a busy Christmas morning is essential, right? And certainly I would agree with that. So what other kinds of things fit into that category for you at Christmas time, right? What are the things that are essential? Christmas wouldn't feel like Christmas if I didn't have blank. Fill in the blank, right? So you could say church, you could say Jesus, right? Those are the Sunday school answers, but what are some other things that you would say? Is it, some of the holiday treats that you're used to having this time of the year? Is it the Christmas cookies? Christmas wouldn't be Christmas without the cookies, or with that pie that Aunt Mildred makes every year, you know? Actually, speaking of holiday treats, that's one of the things for me that really makes a Christmas. My mom always makes this chocolate-covered toffee, and it's like the most amazing thing. It just reminds me of my childhood, and I just got a box of it in the mail last week, right? Christmas isn't Christmas without the toffee. What other things would you put in that category? Maybe Christmas music, right? Christmas isn't Christmas without Christmas music. So ever since we started having our in-person worship services again when we reopened last June, ever since then we really haven't had a lot of opportunities to have special music very often here on Sunday mornings in our worship. And I would say, you know, one of the things that people have expressed that they miss this year about Christmas is that, you know, with our choirs not rehearsing right now, we weren't able to have our traditional Christmas concert that we always have in the middle of December. And people have made that comment that it just kind of feels like there's something missing, right? Not that there's anything wrong with the way we're worshiping, but just it feels different. It feels like there's something missing, and that's absolutely right. When we had our Christmas Eve service last night, and we have our Christmas morning service now, we've had a few opportunities for special music that we haven't had now for months. And I think the reason why that's so special and so important is because it's become an essential component of our Christmas as we worship together. It's a tradition, right? But I also think it's interesting how it's not just us, but people outside of church, people who maybe aren't even considering themselves Christian, how Christmas music affects them too. I think it's amazing how powerful Christmas music can be. And I'm not just talking about, you know, Jingle Bells and Frosty the Snowman, but actual Christmas carols that proclaim actual theology. You have people who wouldn't in a million years ever go to church, and yet you can see them kind of walking around, humming along or singing along to things like Jesus, Lord at thy birth. You've got celebrities and popular musicians who actually will say and sing. You can hear them. You can see them. They're singing things like, "Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord." Isn't it really interesting how in a world like ours, where traditional Christian teachings are becoming more and more taboo and scandalous in this culture, Christmas music, of all things, Christmas music seems to be that one thing that can kind of break through that hostility in our culture. It's really, really interesting. I've been thinking about that a lot lately, and I have a theory. I think what's going on is that people today, whether they realize it or not, people are looking for joy. They're looking for joy as they make their way through this somewhat miserable world. And it just so happens that almost every single Christmas carol has as its theme joy. Joy is the thread that ties all that Christmas music together. It's the joy of the fact that Christ has been born into the world, the joy that because we know that, we know that the world has hope. It's the joy of knowing that God does, in fact, love us and care about us. And that joy in those songs can help us face even the worst days of our lives, because even for those who are struggling with things, when you hear that joy, it reminds you of the things that are truly important, the things that are truly essential. And even for people who don't have a strong relationship with God, people who don't have faith at all, at the very least, that annual Christmas carol joy is a reminder of the things that they're missing out on. And the Holy Spirit actually uses that kind of feeling to lead people to faith every once in a while. Now, in our Old Testament reading today here in Isaiah chapter 52, we get another sense of that amazing Christmas joy right here in this passage. The prophet Isaiah here is describing the joy that the Israelites have once they realize that God has had victory over all of their enemies. And just to kind of put this into context, Isaiah is writing to the people of Israel who at this time were just about to be taken into exile. They were just about to be destroyed by the Babylonians. They were about to see so much death and destruction that it threatened to take all of their hope away. They were living in darkness. It was really kind of making them joyless at the time. Kind of grinchy, you know what I mean? Like you wouldn't want to touch anything with a 39.5-foot pole, that kind of people, right? It was that kind of thing. And yet in the midst of that coming tragedy, Isaiah reminds the people that an even better day was coming. A day was coming when the people would get to come back home, when the temple in Jerusalem would be rebuilt. And the unspeakable joy that would come from that would be so great that everyone and everything would be unable to contain their happiness. He says the watchmen will be singing for joy. He talks about the waste places of Jerusalem breaking forth in singing. And all of this because the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. The Israelites that Isaiah was writing to had gotten themselves into that whole mess in the first place because they had strayed away from God. They had turned their backs on him. And as a result, they were about to be taken out of their homeland in chains and in bondage. And you know, we can actually see a really interesting parallel with a lot that's in the world around us. Because there are a lot of people who have also turned their backs on God and strayed away from him. There's a lot of people who have decided Christianity is just not for them, not for their family. And what we find out is that people who are like that end up in chains and bondage too, even if they don't even realize it. Because they have just as many bad things that happen in their lives as we do, except the big difference is they don't have any hope to turn to in those moments. They don't have the hope that Christ gives us, that no matter what we happen to be going through in this life, there's a better life coming for us and for all who believe in him. But even for people like that, they are positively affected by that Christmas joy that just can't be contained at this time of the year. And so people, like I said before, they'll sing along to those Christmas carols. They'll hum along with those things as we sing to our newborn Savior. And I know it doesn't really seem to matter much, but what it means is that there's hope. It means there's hope for Israel, but there's also hope for people who are like this too. There's hope that they will come to faith. There's hope that they will return to faith that they once had. There's hope that they will come back to the Lord, just like the Israelites came back home to Jerusalem. There's hope that one day they could be in heaven alongside with us, worshiping the Savior who was born and lived and died and was resurrected for us. And so that's why we need to keep singing our Christmas songs. Because just like the watchmen in this passage from Isaiah, who we continue to proclaim this message, this good news that those Christmas songs proclaim, and we do this year after year, and we do it over and over, but we don't just do it because it's tradition. We do it because it's part of something much greater as well. It's a way to do the very same thing that all of creation does at this time of the year. We just sang together Joy to the World. My favorite verse of that song is verse 2, because you have not just the people, but all of creation breaking forth. Fields and floods, rocks, hills and plains, repeat the sounding joy, repeat the sounding joy, repeat, repeat the sounding joy. And if a rock can do it, then you better believe that we, as God's children, forgiven and freed by Jesus, that we can repeat the sounding joy in our lives too. We have so much to sing about, so why not? And that's really the thought that I want to leave you with this morning. You know, technically, the 12 days of Christmas begin today. This is the first day of Christmas. And I know it's really, really tempting to put Christmas away after today. You know, to take everything down tomorrow and be done with it for a whole nother year. And I know that it just sounds really cliche, but no matter when you take your tree down, no matter when the gatherings are over and the kids go back to school and it's back to the daily grind, I pray that that Christmas joy would continue in your lives, that it would be with you all year long. And I really mean it when I say that. Because if Christmas joy is with us everywhere we go, that means we're always looking back to our Savior Jesus Christ. We're always looking back to the reason why we have joy in the first place. Everywhere we go, everything we do, we repeat the sounding joy. Repeat the sounding joy. Repeat, repeat the sounding joy. Merry Christmas. Thanks be to God. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Please stand for prayer. Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Word made flesh, In the joyous celebration of your nativity, we have seen your glory. Your goodness and loving kindness have appeared to us. Grant us comfort and peace in the knowledge of your incarnation and a blessed new year. Lord, in your mercy. Amen. Word made flesh, in your holy gospel, we have seen your glory. Bless the preaching of the gospel from the altars and pulpits you have consecrated for the purpose of delivering your gift of faith through the preaching of your word. Bless those called to preach and those called to hear, that the light of your word may continue to illumine the darkness of our world. Abide with those who suffer persecution for confessing its truth. Lord, in your mercy. Word made flesh, by your sacrament of holy baptism, we have seen your glory. Make all the baptized confident in the promise given to them in the waters of baptism. Give to all your people hearts welcoming of children. Continue to expand your kingdom through this blessed portal to eternal life. Lord, in your mercy. Word made flesh, in your ongoing provision of daily bread, we have seen your glory. By your Spirit, visit those who suffer, the sick, the sorrowing, the hospitalized, the poor, the destitute, the homeless, the unemployed. Remember those who have requested our prayers, especially those who are on our prayer list, those who are in care facilities, including Thretta Hassel, Ferris Kasten, Bill Lutner, Helen Quaid, Esther Schaefer, Bessie Spray, Brian Sudmeyer, and Betty Y. We lift before you Don Schneewind, who is recovering from recent surgery, and those with ongoing health needs and concerns, including Cheryl Krieger, Sam Smith, Bob Thorson, Janelle Small, Deb Holly, Ronnie Jolliffe, Beulah Holly, Amy Hafford, Janet Selly, Alma Mentor, Laverne Thorson, Carlene Michael, Richard McGee, Teddy Meyer, Verdell Krieger, Leon Kuhl, Marvin Daneman, Linda Renth, Daryl Brommeyer, Todd Twenhoffel, Matthew Groh, Jean Sargent, Reba Deek. We also lift before you Alice Hollingsworth, the mother of Joni Krieger, who's recently been diagnosed with COVID-19, all those who are fighting cancer, and all others who are suffering as a result of the coronavirus. We pray that they might not be given to despair, but entreat their Heavenly Father's protection even in times of great need. Lord, in your mercy. Amen. Word made flesh, in your crucifixion and resurrection, we have seen your glory. Give comfort to those who grieve, especially to the family of Jerry Hollingsworth, Joni Krieger's father, who recently passed away after battling COVID-19. Grant to all people a sure and certain hope in the resurrection of all the dead and eternal life for all believers in you on the day of your return. Keep us steadfast and faithful until that day. Lord, in your mercy. Word made flesh, in your holy supper we have seen your glory. From your humble entry into our world in the womb of the Blessed Virgin to your first bed in a feed trough, you set aside the honor you rightly deserve to bless us with your presence. As you now come to us humbly under the forms of bread and wine, bless us with a right faith that we might worthily receive your body and blood for the forgiveness of our sins. Lord, in your mercy. Word made flesh, we give you thanks that of your mercy and compassion you became incarnate and have redeemed us from sin and everlasting death. Enlighten our hearts by your Holy Spirit, that we may ever be thankful for such grace and comfort ourselves by it in all tribulation and temptation, and at last obtain eternal salvation. Who with the Father and the Holy Spirit are one Lord, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated. If you brought with you a Christmas offering, there is a basket in the narthex where you can place that offering on your way out, unless you've already done so on your way in. At this time, we will sing an offertory hymn, which is God Loves Me Dearly. Please stand. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Receive the blessing of the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with his favor and grant to you his peace. Amen. You may be seated. Our closing hymn is Angels We Have Heard on High. Well, this brings us to the end of our service of the Word. I just want to say once again from myself and from my family and from all of us here at Trinity Lutheran Church and School, very Merry Christmas to you and to your family. We pray that you have a very blessed Christmas season and a happy, happy new year filled with joy, the joy of the Lord. We will be having communion here in just a few moments, and I don't have any other major announcements or anything like that. And so at this time, I will invite the ushers to come forward and dismiss any of you who would not be planning to stay for communion. And I'll invite the elders to come forward at this time and help set the table. God's blessings to all of you and a very Merry Christmas.
We're blessed to have you join us for worship today. Please join us again next Sunday.
Merry Christmas.
And a Happy New Year.